Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Who am I? Have you ever uttered those words to yourself? Have you ever felt that feeling? Have you ever felt that you're just not qualified? I think this is a shared human experience. I think that at one point or another in school or work or family life, there has been a time where we have felt unqualified. More than likely, many times, it's just one of those shared human experiences that we can all relate to, a moment of saying, who am I to do that? Now, in God's Word today, we see this shared human experience when it comes to doing God's work. We see Moses' story, the account of God speaking to him at the burning bush. And in this moment, God is calling Moses. He's calling Moses to do important work, to do his work, to lead his people out of slavery in Egypt. But we see Moses utter that familiar phrase, who am I to do that? Upon hearing this call, Moses utters these familiar words, who am I? You see, Moses, he feels entirely unqualified and ill-prepared to do this task that God has set before him. And you know what? He was right. If you look at Scripture, if you look at the wealth of the Bible that talks about Moses, you see one thing that's pretty clear. Moses wasn't prepared. He wasn't worthy of this task. I mean, just look at some of the facts. Moses is being called to lead these Hebrew slaves out of slavery in Egypt. But he doesn't share much in common with them. Yeah, he's Hebrew by birth. He was born of a Hebrew mother. But after that, he was raised by an Egyptian family. Not just any Egyptian family, but in Pharaoh's house by one of his daughters. Moses is raised with every earthly luxury that could be afforded. He knows very little of the life of slavery that these people he is being called to lead had experienced. He couldn't empathize with them. He couldn't relate with them. He was just raised differently. But the list goes on ways that Moses wasn't really qualified for this task. The Bible says that Moses was slow of speech. And more than that, he lacked confidence in his ability to negotiate with Pharaoh. Also, Moses, like us, was a sinner. And his sin had had earthly consequences already. Out of a crime of passion, while he was still in Egypt, he had killed a man. And because of that, he was on the run from Pharaoh. So now Moses is sitting there. And the Hebrews don't really like him. The Egyptians don't like him because he's committed a crime in their land. So how is he supposed to answer this call? How is this man, who's not confident and slow of speech, supposed to negotiate with the most powerful man in the world? How is this man, who's not really liked by either the Hebrews or the Egyptians, how is he supposed to serve as a mediator between these two people? How is Moses supposed to answer this calling? He knew deep down what was actually true, that he was unworthy for this task. So we can empathize with him when he said those words, who am I, Lord? But you know, Moses wasn't alone. He's not the only man or woman in Scripture who was called by God to do a task that they weren't quite ready for. Take David, for example. When he was called to be king of Israel, he was just a boy, the youngest and smallest of his brothers. And from a simple shepherd family, not a rich or powerful family, but a shepherd, and God called him to be king of Israel. Then you've got the disciples, most of whom were simple fishermen, not really educated. You got a corrupt tax collector thrown in, a physician thrown in, all of whom throughout the Gospels we see doubt Jesus, we see lack understanding, we see stray from time to time, not really up to the task, not really worthy, not really qualified to do what Jesus was asking of them. And then you got Paul. And Paul's a little different because Paul was very confident. Well, I should say Saul at the beginning was very confident. But what he was confident and prepared for was the exact opposite of what God was about to call him to do. Underqualified? You bet. Unworthy? Absolutely. And this theme, it holds true with pretty much every character in Scripture. People who aren't quite ready for the task, but God calls them anyway. And this is true with us. The truth is, when we feel God calling, we're all underqualified, but he calls us anyway. So let's talk about that. What do we do when God comes calling in our lives? And yeah, I got to admit, it's not usually going to happen in the form of a burning bush with the literal voice of God. Oftentimes, he works through means. Oftentimes, he works through other people. Oftentimes, he works internally by the power of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes that call is going to come internally. Sometimes it's going to come through prayer and devotion and reading scripture and worship. Sometimes he's going to pull your heart to do something, to share his love with someone. But other times it's going to come externally. It can look like someone asking you to serve on a board, or an email for volunteers from Shelley or Randy, or it can simply come from a friend or a spouse who encourages you to share God's love with someone. Maybe right now you feel called to do something. Maybe you feel called to share God's love and his story with that coworker who's searching. Or maybe that friend who has hardened their heart. The point is, God calls all of us to various things each and every day. We've all been in one of these situations where God is calling us, and I'm sure we've all been in a situation where we feel underqualified and ill-prepared. And to be honest, like I said earlier, like all these biblical characters, we are underqualified. We are ill-prepared. So how do we answer this calling when that phrase rings in our hearts? Who am I, Lord? Who am I to do that? Not me. But you know that phrase, it was familiar to Moses. It's what he uttered long ago in the story we just heard. And this story for Moses, it's so important because we got to realize something. The story, the Exodus story, Moses' story, it's not really a story about Moses. It's a story about God. So when we see Moses say, who am I, what we really should be focused on is not Moses' excuses and Moses' words, but instead God's response. Because he has a simple and powerful response for Moses. He simply says, I will be with you. You see the story, it's not really about Moses. It's about God and his power to save his people. And yeah, Moses had a key part to play. But on his own, all he would have been is like us, underqualified, unworthy, ill-prepared. But it wasn't about him. And God was with him, as he says he will be with us. In fact, he has promised this to us. Now, at this point in the church year, we're almost 40 days past Easter. We're almost to the point where we celebrate Jesus' ascension back to heaven. It's going to take place Thursday, I believe. We don't have a service to celebrate it, but keep it in mind this week. But as we think about that, one of our scripture lessons this morning, our gospel text, took place right before Jesus ascended into heaven. The last chapter of Matthew, as Jesus has one more command, one more calling for his disciples and followers. A calling that extends to each and every Christian in this world. He says these familiar words, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. This last command, it extends to us, just as it extended to those disciples who, in all honesty, even after being trained by Jesus himself for 3 years, were not quite ready for this task. But Jesus didn't leave them just with a command. He left them with one more verse that extends to each of us, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You see, that's our source of strength when we ask ourselves, who am I, Lord? When we feel unprepared, when we feel unworthy, our hope is in the fact that God is with us and that he is our source of strength. He's the one who worked through Moses to do those miraculous things. Even though Moses was simply a broken vessel, God worked through him. Just as he worked through all the other men and women in Scripture. And when Moses died and Joshua was being handed leadership in Israel, God had similar words for him, similar words that he has for us. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We're not alone in this fight. God is with us and he has promised to always be with us. And that's a fact that we should be proud and confident of. So I want to get to our last scripture reading today, our epistle from 1 Timothy. Now, This has always been one of my favorite sets of verses. As Paul writes again to that young pastor, Timothy, and these words, they have so much to do with what we're talking about today. And this is what he said to him. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, and in purity. Now, this verse has always meant a lot to me personally because it's always applied to me. I've always been young. Now, this verse is applying less and less each day. Catherine will be glad to share with you. She found a gray hair the other day. But still, this verse, it doesn't really matter because this verse is not just talking to young people. What Paul is really saying to Timothy is don't let there be an excuse. Let there be a reason not to do these things. And I remember letting this specific one be an excuse for me. Maybe you can relate to this in your past. Maybe you can relate to it right now. I remember being 15 and feeling a pull to share God's love with someone, but saying to myself, no, I'm not ready. I don't know enough yet. My words won't be respected enough yet, and letting myself make an excuse and say no. I also remember being a first-year seminarian and getting my first opportunity to teach an adult Bible study. And I remember being terrified of the fact that I was going to teach people who probably knew more than me and who definitely had more life experience than me. I remember letting this be an excuse. And Timothy, he had all those same excuses, the same reasons to say, who am I? The same reasons to say, not me. But here's Paul telling him, let no one despise you. In other versions, let no one look down upon you for this. Let no one give you an excuse. What Paul is saying is don't look down upon yourself. Don't let yourself tell yourself that you're not good enough to do this. Because here's the thing. There are no prerequisites to being God's servant. Those things listed in that verse we just saw, setting an example in faith, in love, in purity, in conduct, in speech. There are no prerequisites to doing those things. There are no things you must have in order to do those things. So as Paul said, let no one look down upon you, and especially don't look down upon yourself and your ability to share his love. You know, I mentioned earlier how that verse from 1 Timothy will always apply to me, even as those gray hairs continue to multiply. And it will always apply to me because that verse is really about the Christian life. Let no one look down on you regardless. Don't look down on yourself regardless of whether you're young or old, in good health or in poor health, rich or poor, from this culture or that culture. Whatever it is that could be an excuse, that could be a reason to say, not me, or who am I, or I'm not worthy. Instead, hear God's word in saying that you are God's child and he is with you. And he will do the heavy lifting. And yeah, we're not perfect. We're never going to be perfect, and we don't need to be because our God is. Our God is perfect, and he is going to do the hard part. We're just the instrument, just the messenger, just the broken vessel that he will work through as he did through Moses and all of those other biblical characters. So now, let no one look down on you. Let no one despise you. And definitely don't look down upon yourself. But by God's grace and by his example, set an example in love, in faith, in purity, in conduct, and in speech. And you know, there's power in that. There's power in showing love when you have an excuse not to. There's power in the faith of a young person. There's power in the love and care of someone who is suffering and shouldn't be sharing that love. There's power of the love of someone and the witness of someone who has an excuse not to witness. Our culture, our humanity, we love an underdog story. Just look at every sports movie from Rudy to Miracle. We love a story where the odds are set against you and you still prevail. We hand out the Medal of Honor to men and women who served with valor even when the odds were set against them. And God uses this part of humanity to show his power, to witness, and to share his love. Scripture, it's filled with David versus Goliath stories where people who are unworthy, underqualified, ill-prepared, still worked for God's glory because he was with them. Yeah, they had disadvantages. Yeah, they were sinful. Yeah, they had reasons not to do it. They had reasons why it wouldn't work, but it always still worked. And there's one reason why it always still worked out, and it's this: because it's not about us. You know, that really is the message of Jesus Christ, that it's not about us. No matter what we do or don't do, no matter what we can do or can't do, no matter what we do well or don't do well, it's not really about us. Despite our insecurities, despite our lack of motivation, despite our disobedience, despite what we have and haven't done, it's not about us. It's only about Jesus. It's only about what he has already done for us, where he took care of our sin on that cross, where he said to us, "It's not about you. It's about what I am doing for you. And because of this, you may call yourself my child, and I will be with you." If it was about us, we'd all be in a lot of trouble. We'd all be left in a dire situation. So thanks be to God that it isn't about us. Thanks be to God that it is and will always be only about Jesus, that he took care of everything. So next time you hear Jesus calling, next time you hear him calling you to do something simple or to do something so profound that you never could have seen yourself doing it, remember this, that it's not about us. It's only about Jesus. It's not about our qualifications. It's about his qualifications. It's not about how we are worthy. It's about the fact that Christ has made us worthy of each and every one of his callings. It's about what he did for us on that cross. And a God who can do that, a God who is willing to do that for us, he will work through us as well. Because of him, we are made worthy of his calling. And we see here that he has proven time and again what he can do with unworthy, underqualified people like us. Because it's not about us. It's about him. It's about what he's done for us. And it's about what he will continue to do for us, to do through us. So next time you hear Jesus calling, next time you hear that external or internal voice inside your head, next time the devil inside you says, "Who am I to do that?" Remember his words to his disciples. Remember his words to us. "And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." Because it's not about us. It's only about Jesus. Amen.